Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the Sika Half Year Report 2018 conference call. I'm Sherry, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Dominik Slappnig, Head Communications and Investor Relations of Sika. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Sika First Half Results conference call. We published our figures at 5 o'clock this morning. Our CEO, Paul Schuler, and our CFO, Adrian Widmer, will now provide further details on the results. Afterwards, they will be ready to take your questions. With this, I would like to hand over to Paul Schuler to start with the highlights of the first half year.
Okay, thank you, Dominik. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining the call. The highlight of the last month is surely the resolution of the takeover attempt by Saint-Gobain and the fair solution we found to solve it. This resolution has an impact in the balance sheet and in the P&L, which Adrian later will explain in more detail. Operationally, I'm happy to inform you about our very motivating half-year closing. We had an excellent sales growth of 13.9% in local currency and 15.9% in Swiss francs, with a new record to 3,470,000,000 Swiss francs. Nice to see is that all our four regions were able to grow. EMEA, this is in our case Europe, Middle East and Africa, increased by 13.6% in local currency. We recorded a double-digit growth in many countries and areas. As example, Eastern Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and strong solid growth also in Spain, UK and Turkey. The newly established region Americas has also an excellent run with also 13.6%, double-digit growth in the US, Mexico and Argentina. Sika Brazil posted a sales growth of 7.3% after some difficult years, and Ecuador also with 12.5%, as well as Peru are also back on the growth path. So Latin America is on the grow again. In Asia Pacific, we grew with 5%, double-digit growth in India, in Indonesia, and a part of Southeast Asia. China construction market picked up further in the first half year, enabled us to grow high single-digit. Good growth in Japan and Australia. The segment global business includes our automotive business with the new acquisition Faist in January and Sika Axon Technology, our market leader in tooling and composite. With 28.5% an excellent run, driven by the acquisition effect and high single-digit organic growth. The pressure from higher input cost was well managed throughout many price adjustments, however, lacking a bit behind. Volume growth, together with disproportional low cost development, also helped to compensate the high raw material prices. The one-off cost effect, connection with the resolution of Saint-Gobain of 23 million, impacted the EBIT negatively. Nonetheless, EBIT improved by 10.6% to 444 million. In the first 6 months, we continued to invest in future growth in emerging market by opening 3 new factories in Senegal, Saudi Arabia, and Vietnam. We also founded a new subsidiary in Honduras. With the takeover of Index, we could acquire the market leader in the roofing waterproofing business in Italy, and the closing of Faist in February extended our access and offering to the automotive industry. The integration of the two companies runs excellent, and the synergies are even higher than expected. So overall, we had a great start to the year. Now I would like to hand over to our CFO, Adrian Widmer. He will guide you through the financial information. Adrian?
Thank you, Paul, and good afternoon or good morning, everybody. Following our CEO's business summary and highlight presentation, I will now give you further insights into the financials and drivers of our strong first half year. In the first 6 months, the business showed an excellent growth on top of a strong first half 2017, with sales growth of 13.9% in constant currencies, picking up further momentum in the second quarter with a growth of 16.3% in constant currencies and 19.3% in Swiss francs. Organic growth contributed 6.8%, also increasing from 4.7 in the first quarter to 8.6 in the second quarter, while acquisitions added another 7.1% of growth in the first 6 months. Currency effects were positive for a change, with an additional growth contribution of 2%, primarily owed to a much stronger euro, while a number of emerging market currencies such as the Brazilian reais, the Argentinian peso, and the Turkish lira weakened significantly. All elements resulted in a total Swiss franc growth of 15.9% in the first half year. As highlighted by Paul, again, all regions contributed to our growth in the first 6 months of the year. Region EMEA grew sales at the rate of 13.6% at constant currencies, also here picking up quite considerably from the first quarter. Organic growth was 6.1%, while the acquisition of KVK in the Czech Republic, ABC in Turkey, and Index in Italy contributed 7.5% of acquisition growth. The core markets, UK and Spain, as well as Eastern Europe, the area Africa and Near East contributed strongly to the organic growth, while FX effect were most pronounced in this region with an additional growth of more than 6%, and to a total regional growth of almost 20% in Swiss francs. Region Americas continued to record strong growth, also at 13.6% in local currencies, beating the strong growth of 11.7% in the same period of last year. In North America, we have again been able to leverage the robust activity in the U.S. construction sector in our key target markets, while Canada has found back to solid growth. Double-digit growth, as mentioned, in Mexico, Argentina, as well as Ecuador, has been driving a pickup in Latin America, with overall organic growth in the Americas at 8.5% in the first half year, while the acquisition of M-Seal and Butterfield contributed another 5% growth. Foreign exchange effects in this region were quite negative at minus 4%. Growth in Asia Pacific was a solid 5%. Most dynamic growth was achieved in India and parts of Southeast Asia. China grew in the high single digit on the back of a robust construction market, while foreign exchange impacts at plus 0.7% were rather minor. The new segment Global Business achieved a very strong growth at 28.5% in local currencies compared to 9.2% in the previous year period. The Global Business includes our existing automotive OEM OES business, which was previously reported as part of other segment and activities. Organic growth in this segment was 7.8%, while the acquisition of Faist Chemtech contributed more than 20% percentage points of additional growth. Positive foreign exchange effects contributed another 3.5%, leading to an overall growth in this segment of 32% in Swiss francs. Moving down the P&L, the gross result as a percentage of net sales decreased by 150 basis points from 55.1 to 53.6 5%. Price increases, as well as various initiatives on the procurement and R&D side, limited the impact of significantly higher raw material costs, while the dilution effect from acquisitions accounted for about 40 basis points of this material margin contraction. Offsetting this and driven by strong volume growth as well as further efficiency improvements, we showed a strong operating leverage with both personnel cost as well as other operating expenses growing significantly below sales growth at around 70% of sales, in spite of a certain dilution effect from acquisitions. Organically, cost growth was less than 50% of organic sales growth. The successful resolution of the long-standing dispute led to a one-time cost of around 23 million, which are included in other operating expenses. In consequence, EBITDA increased double-digit by 11.6% to 544.8 million. This is up from 488.2 million in the same period of last year. If one-time costs related to the dispute resolution, and this does include the board remuneration for the period 2015 to 18, were excluded, EBITDA growth would have been over proportional compared to sales growth with an increase of 16.4%. Driven by increased intangible amortization coming from acquisitions, depreciation and amortization expenses increased also by 16.4% versus the previous year period. Resulting EBIT growth was also double digit with an increase of 10.6% year on year. Excluding one-time costs, also here EBIT growth would have been over proportional at 16.4% growth. In absolute terms, EBIT is up by 42.5 million to 444.6 million on a reported basis. Net profit after tax increased 11.4% from 285.7 to 318.2 million. Net interest costs were higher by about 1.3 million in the first half year, related to the bridge financing for the share purchase of the 7% of the Sika shares from Saint-Gobain for 2.08 billion and the subsequent partial takeout through a convertible bond. Net other financial expenses also increased due to higher hedging costs related to increasing interest differentials, particularly compared to the US dollar. Group tax rate, on the other hand, reduced markedly from 25.9% in the previous year to 24.7% in the first half year, primarily related to lower tax rates in the US. Seasonality in the business provides for the lion's share of the cash flow being generated in the second half year. First half year operating free cash flow was 11.5 million Swiss francs. Cash generation from operating activities increased by 35 million to 160 million, while CapEx was at 148.7 million, including a one-off capex related to two operating lease buyouts in Switzerland for around 71 million, leading to lower operating costs going forward, and which was done in anticipation of the upcoming changes in the accounting standard regarding leases. The resolution of the dispute and introduction of a unitary share structure also had an effect on the balance sheet. Obviously, the repurchase Sika shares of 6.97% of the outstanding capital voted for cancellation at the EGM is reducing equity by 2.08 billion with a resulting equity ratio of 22% at the end of June. Corresponding bridge financing of 2.1 billion initially put in place has already been fully financed by July 12th through a convertible bond in the amount of 1.65 billion, as well as a triple tranche straight bond issuance for the remainder of the amount. As a result, undiluted EPS increased over proportionally by 14% versus a total net profit growth of 11.4%, and will continue. And this will continue to be highly accretive on an EPS basis, as annual incremental financing cost will be about 14 million only, or less than 70 basis points of the principal amount. With this, I conclude my remarks and hand back over to Paul Schuler for the outlook.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. The strong start to the year supports our full-year targets. We have an outstanding pipeline of big, newly won construction projects, many new products and initiatives, as well as several acquisition candidates throughout the world. We are well on track to increase sales by more than 10% to exceed 7 billion for the first time. It's nice to know this last year was 6, now we try to go for 7, so we are on a good run there. Volatile and rising commodity prices continue to present a challenge in the next 5 months. However, with the efficiency improvements and continued price adoption, we expect EBIT and net profit to further increase in line with our guidance. Thanks to the commitment of our employees and the strength of Sika Growth Model, we can look forward with high confidence to the second half of 2018.
Thank you, Paul. I think we can now open our Q&A session.
The first question is from Markus Meyer, Baader Helvea. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. And at first, congratulations to the solving of the dispute. I have three questions as of May. The first one is related to your guidance, how I should read it. So does it mean that in any case, the EBIT will grow faster than sales, or does it mean that it will grow faster than the guided 10% sales growth? That's the first question. Second question of global businesses. This 8% organic growth we saw at global business in the first half, is this a good run rate going into the second half? And as well, this 15% EBIT margin, what was the effect from the integration cost there, and what would be a good underlying EBIT margin for this business? And then lastly, in EMEA, the organic growth in the second quarter looks that it was nearly double digit. Was this due to a catch-up effect from the stronger and longer than normal winter effect in the first quarter, or is this high growth driven by price increases? Thanks so much.
Maybe I'll take the first one here on the guidance. The guidance is a slight overproportional EBIT increase over sales growth. So depending on the sales growth, this obviously is going to be more than 10%. The second one on the global business. Yes, this is heavily impacted by acquisitions here, as usual. There is an initial dilution effect. It also depends a bit on some other factors. So there is no clear underlying margin guidance yet, but integration is well on track. And the underlying EBIT percent net sales will improve over time.
And on the organic growth at Global Business?
On the organic growth here, clearly the automotive part, as we have said, will grow basically about 10% over market growth. Car build rate growth in the first half year was very minor, around 1%. So we're well on track there. Maybe a word to EMEA. Last question here. There is a certain element of let's say, more working days included here. That's the difference between the first and the second quarter in terms of growth. But underlying organic growth is also very strong in many markets, as just indicated previously.
And I had a question. This one, is this organic growth mainly volume or also to some extent price-driven?
It is to some extent price-driven, as, of course, we are increasing prices in EMEA, but across the board, but there is also a price element in there.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Meyer.
Next question is from Martin Hisler, ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two or three questions, if I may. First of all, maybe looking a bit at your gross profit margin decrease by 150 basis points, and then maybe just looking at the 110, which you lost because of raw material price increases. Can you maybe give us your view what's going to happen here in the second quarter, i.e. how will you catch up with price increases compared to raw material price increases? And then the second one is just a minor one, but if I look on page 13, where you elaborate on the acquisition of Faist, it just strikes me that you say Faist added a net profit of 2.2 million for more or less 5 months. But in the first month, which you haven't consolidated yet, the share of profit would have been 1.9. And I was just wondering, why is the margin for the part of the year that is not consolidated yet so much higher? So that's maybe my two questions.
Okay, maybe the second one, good observation. I mean, that's a bit related to, let's say, the IFRS disclosure. Here, of course, the sort of the integration and one-time cost you only have once. The underlying profitability is obviously higher in this business, and that's what makes this this difference, how it is being disclosed.
Okay.
And on the raw material, Martin, I would like to say that everywhere there are heavily price increased in certain materials more, in certain materials less. We see also some signs out there which we have more stabilization now, and with few product groups, we see still an increase. The challenge in the first 6 months was the waves. We had three major waves of price increases, and we luckily be behind to go to the customer and increase the price also by 3 times. So it's a little bit of leverage, but we are confident that we will have a better result end of the year, and also on the efficiency we are strong, so we think on the final EBIT we can handle it. It's also always a decision management on volume against just cross margin. I think that's always the same play. We need to fill the factory on one side, and the side we want to be fair partners to our customers, but we are able to increase the prices in a fair amount to keep our results.
Okay, so I read into this that in the second half of the year, the burden on the gross profit margin will probably be lower than these 110 basis points seen in the first half.
Working hard on it, yes, you can assume.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Eric Carlson, Industrial Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. You have an amazing track record of acquisitions going back many decades. Perhaps this episode with an unclear shareholder situation slightly dampened your opportunities, at least for larger deals over the last couple of years here. How is the pipeline now for deals in general and for larger deals specifically?
Okay, thank you, Eric. Yes, fair observation. I fully believe that we can have an increased speed now as our current board is more willing to go for the bigger acquisition.
I'm having trouble with the connection.
With their shareholders on the board, so we will go for biggest acquisition. We have one or two bigger now talking after the resolution, and the pipeline is quite full, but as it is with acquisition, it always takes some time and willing, but we are very, very confident that we will show more acquisition and bigger acquisition, as I said, in the round of 300-500 million.
Very encouraging. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
Next question is from Phil Rosberg from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a couple of quick questions, please. We saw the acceleration in like-for-like growth of sales in the first, in quarter two, which is even higher than the full year of 2017. But there were a lot of sort of effects going on between Q1 and Q2. Can you sort of give us an idea of where the run rate of like-for-like growth should be sort of going into the second half of this year? Second question, just a little bit digging a little bit more on the last question about the acquisition pipeline. We had over many years sort of a 2%, 1.5 to 2% growth in the sort of the bolt-on from acquisitions every year. How should we think about that going forward? Is there a sort of a, I know it's very difficult with lots of different deals at different times, but are we expected to double that? Are we expected to go much further? It's just to try and understand the sort of the run rate we can expect.
Okay, thanks, Phil. I take the second one on acquisition. As you mentioned by yourself, it's always difficult to predict, but their aim is to grow faster. So as we said, we had 2% acquisition always in, so we try to go at 2-3%, whatever we see, but it's difficult to predict. But it's clear we like to go for a bigger acquisition and we like to go a little faster.
Understood.
Thanks, Phil.
I'll take the first one on the run rate. As you correctly point out, Phil, there's always a number of influencing factors here. I mean, if you just look at the sales days in the first quarter, we had about two less on average compared to the previous year. Now in the second one, I think it was around one or not even. I think it's in terms of organic growth, the first half year run rate is probably a fair run rate, going forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question is from John Revill from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of quick questions just regarding the outlook. You're targeting 700 billion, 7 billion sales this year, and you've had a very good start to the year so far. So I was wondering how much higher than 7 billion do you think you can get to in 2018? And also, moving into 2018, any indications of what you might be aiming for next year? Thank you.
Thank you, John. You sound like a board member asking me to give more in. I guess with our guidelines, with 7 billion, we're on the very positive side. We can go there, but we don't know what's really coming. So I think we still stick to be 10% growth rate. We stick to this one. And for going on, if we can keep a pace of this 6-8 or even go to 10 in the coming years, I think that's also very fair in the growth rate. So in the moment, we stick to our general guidelines, 6-8 and cross the 7 billion first.
Right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Next question is from Bernd Pomeran from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. Two, if I may. Firstly, on the CapEx more than doubled in the first half. I think this includes one or two kind of special projects. Could you please provide an update for the absolute CapEx guidance for this year and then also a relative guidance, so CapEx to sales ratio going forward? That's the first question. And then the second one, your implicit EBIT margin guidance for this year sounds a little bit more cautious as you introduced this slightly comment. So what has changed really in the last 3 months? Is it the continued high raw material price level, or do you already include the potentially negative impact of further margin dilutive acquisitions in the second half? Thank you.
Thanks, Bernd. Maybe on the CapEx, yes, roughly 150 million of CapEx in the first half year indeed was quite a bit higher than in the previous year, but this is really owed to this one factor I was mentioning. We did buy out two plants out of operating leases for about 71 million, which will lead to lower operating expenses going forward. But this is really a one-off, if you will. In terms of the absolute capex this year, without this one-time effect of around 71 million, is slightly higher than in the previous year, sort of keeping around the same percentage of sales as in previous years.
Okay, thank you, Adrian.
On the EBIT guidance, there is of course this one effect, the 23 million of one-time expenses, which we have to absorb, and this is really fundamentally the difference the slight change in wording in terms of acquisitions coming and the effects. I think we will take it when it comes.
Excellent, very clear. Thank you, Adrian.
Next question is from Patrick Rafaisz, UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Two questions remain, two follow-ups, actually. The one is on the organics in the second quarter. Adrian, you talked a bit about the working day effects. Can you also talk about weather effects and how you feel these influenced your performance, especially in Europe, where organics were very strong? And then the second question around the gross margin. Again, you gave us a split between M&A dilution and the raw material impact. Can you talk about your assumption for M&A dilution in the second half? And can you split the raw material impact across the segments, so the regions and global business, to get a feel which regions were impacted the most? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe on the weather effects first, of course, yes, there is always an influence. It's typically, in the first and the last quarter where you have most weather effects potentially. As always, we don't like to talk so much about the weather, because the weather is as it is. It was probably a rather bit of a harsher winter in North America, but also in parts of Europe. So there is probably also a little element of this year in the first quarter. But other than that, as I said, I think sort of the first half year organic growth is a fair assessment here. Maybe then on the raw material side, or raw material, or material margin rather. I would expect what the acquisitions are concerned, based, of course, the ones that have already been secured, that this dilution is rather going to reduce in the second half year to a lower rate, as these effects are typically initially the bigger ones. In terms of price effect across the regions, across applications, that's very difficult to divide out, because there is also foreign exchange effects. As Paul had mentioned, there have been different waves, and also the raw materials not moving uniformly. There was certainly an impact or a bigger impact in Asia Pacific, and to some extent in EMEA.
Mm-hmm. Can I just follow up on one question regarding the M&A that has already been announced. In your EBIT guidance, do you model a significant uplift from these M&A contributions? I don't mean the absolute number, but from increasing the margins and bringing them to Sika levels, or would you say everything that's been announced will see the impacts more in 2019?
Well, I guess we have a strong track record of integration in these companies. It takes us then a while until we have them on our margin. It's always the target to bring us to the same margin. But it always depends on the business, depends a bit on the region. But in general, you can assume that we will bring the companies to our level.
Okay. And it's still like a 2 or 3 year period.
It's correct. It depends on it, but it's always fair assumption over this period.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
Next question is from Martin Flückiger, Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. Actually, I have three. Firstly, I was wondering whether you could talk about the what you see in terms of market environment in North and but also in Latin America. And particularly, I was interested, do you see any ramp up yet in infrastructure projects in the U.S.? And what do you see in Brazil? Are you still bullish on that market? That would be my first question. Then the second question is with regards to your track record for acquisitions. What do you think is your, let's say, recipe or secret in terms of maintaining management's external focus in spite of several acquisitions being integrated at the same time? That would be my second question. And my third question, apologies, I must have overheard that statement on the split for the raw material price, the gross margin decline, the split to the, for dilution and raw material price effects. If you could repeat that very quickly, thank you so much.
Okay, Martin, thanks. I'll take the one with the environment. First, with the U.S., I think the U.S. has a strong run overall. They have a fair, strong base. However, the big infrastructure program we don't see yet from Mr. Trump's initiatives, but we have a good run, and I think a double-digit growth rate, we gain market share, we have strong position and a strong pipeline. But it's not so that we really see an impact now. We still hope on it, but it's not yet given. If we go to Latin America, I guess we have a strong run in Argentina, Mexico. So we think the environment is very good, also Ecuador. So overall, Latin America seems to be stronger than the last 2 years. In Brazil, we have a very nice run. I guess seems to be out of the really decline. However, future will tell, but we are more confident to have a very strong results this year in Brazil. So overall, Latin America, Americas are very on a good run. If you look then to the second question on the management, I think the acquisition, we always have different areas, different countries, different people. We make sure that the general manager and the whole team focus on the integration. We also try not to change too much for the customers of the company we acquire. So therefore, we have time for our own business as well as leave this company running their business, and we go step by step to find then the synergies. That's a little bit the model we try to work with, which works well. And question three, Adrian?
Maybe the last one, Martin, on the breakdown of the 150 base points, about 110 is basically the net effect of higher raw material costs, and about 40 base points is the dilution from acquisition.
Okay, thanks. Just a quick follow-up, if I may. That 110 bips raw material price impact, what does that correspond to in terms of average raw material price increase for H1?
It has been across the board very different in terms of the raw materials. The effect on the raw material price increases has been around 4% or a little bit more.
Okay, and you see that declining for H2, maybe 3% or something like that.
I don't quite have my crystal ball with me, but as Paul had mentioned, there has been several waves. We see in some areas some plateauing, others are continuing to go up. It also depends on the foreign exchange movements, it rather looks a little bit less steep the increase than in the previous months.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Next
you.
Question is on John Fraser-Andrews, HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gents. I've got four questions, please. The first one is the accounts receivable particularly, but also stocks seem to have gone up very strongly, and the accounts payable not so strongly. Perhaps there's something going on in the acquisitions. If you could explain that, please, Adrian.
Yeah.
The second is a clarification of what you said earlier on the call about working days. I thought I heard you say in Q2 one day less. I certainly heard 2 days less in Q1, but I'm thinking you might have meant one day more in Q2 explain the difference in those sales rates. The third question is, have you finished now price increases after these raw material rises, or are there more price rises to come in the second half? And the final and fourth question is in Asia. It's a more moderate growth than some of the other EM areas. Are there any countries in double digit or the star performers, India, China, is it limited to high single digit growth in that region? Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thanks, John. Maybe the second one first on the working days. That's what I at least meant to say. Yes, the second quarter had one working day more and not less. Maybe on the working capital, there is quite a number of effects here. If you look at the overall, there has not been, let's say, an increase or a deterioration in any kind. Of course, you have some valuation effect here on Forex, but also in terms of inventory, the fact that raw material prices have gone up also means that the same volume, the inventory value is also higher in the books. And then you have also the effect that due to the fact that we did or closed two larger acquisitions in the first half year, there is a higher balance and not the full year sales against it if you look at the ratios. So all in all, continued disciplined management, but also, of course, the receivables are most related to the last 2 to 3 months of turnover, and here the growth has been quite significant, and hence also the increase a bit more pronounced than in previous quarters.
Sure.
Okay, hello, John. Regarding the prices, no, we are not finished. As I mentioned before, we lack a little behind because there were three waves. We will continue price increases. We had just in several countries additional price increases last for July. But this will go on, and we will follow the development of the prices in the next 6 months very closely. And wherever necessary and possible, we go and increase the price. That's a continuous management job of all the general managers around the world and the salespeople. So it's not finished now. Then to the region, Asia, I think we are lacking a little bit on the growth rate, mainly in four countries, Malaysia, Singapore, Korea and Thailand. That's a little bit lacking. We have to see Thailand had last year an excellent run, so we are a little behind there. Korea, difficult in the moment, to several projects are lacking a little bit. And Malaysia and Singapore just have a very low construction market a little bit. So that's a little bit stack us down. Where we have a strong run is in Indonesia, double-digit, in India, double-digit, and strong, high single-digit in several countries. Also Japan, we are strong. And so we lack a little bit in four countries, but also the same run around the region, and confident probably we can pick up 1 or 2 points in the next 6 months.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from John Revill. Please go ahead. Mr. Revill, your line is open.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my just follow-up. I was just wondering, we're quite interested in the moment at about, obviously, the trade tensions and things like that. And I was wondering if you see any kind of spillover effect into your business in terms of, raw materials, you see them getting more expensive because of this, or any effects on demand out there? Thank you.
Interesting question also for us. I think we see the dark clouds around the world. We will follow if there is really a trade war. We believe it will slow down the whole economy. However, in the sick respect, we have a very nationalized or local production around the world. So, for example, US, we do almost 100% own production in the US. So, for us, it's a little bit not so critical as long as the whole economy not turns down. So, we are very local organized, local strong position, and local production. But we, of course, follow very closely the development and react where we have to.
Do you see any kind of increases in raw material prices as a result of tariffs? Does that affect you guys moving forward or not so much?
Not really. Unfortunately, Sky's pushed us already hard enough with the price increases. I think it's not really to the tax reason there.
No, thank you.
We also purchase local.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
That was the last question.
Okay, so thanks very much for joining the call. Nice to hear you guys with the questions. We always learn a little more about our business via your tough questions. So thank you. And with this, we close the call. Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.